Mr. Pearsall, we're on another edition of the Watkins Award. It is Monday, May the 3rd, 2021. And Mr. Pearsall, I always say this all the time, but it's the 15th episode. You're here with T.K. and J. Everett Pearsall, and let me tell you, you look at my background and you got me in the Watkins Trophy. You look at his background. Now, that's not his background screen. That is a real background. Now, Pearsall, share with us. I mean, you're my right-hand guy. So where in the world, I'm going to start wearing a T-shirt in here. Where is Mr. Pearsall today? So where are you, Pearsall? So the audience, the listening audience, know that that's... Is that a fake background or is that a real background?
No, sir, buddy. You might start to hear me, see me beat up a little bit. Back down here on South Beach, baby, on Ocean Drive. That's the real beach, the real palm trees. You might hear a person on the beach, you know, while we're producing the show. But yes, I'm on South Beach, baby, back in the heat and back in the land of the palm trees, the Cuban sandwiches, the Prime 112. All the things that are delightful, and the beach, of course.
Well, I tell you, I mean, when you do the Watkins Award, you never know where that Mr. Pearsall is going to show up when the show starts. I mean, he does this on purpose. I expect all the merchandise in the background, the souvenirs. You know, it looks like you're taking a stroll down memory lane with all these all-stars in his office. And yet now he has a beach in the background, water. I mean, Mr. Pearsall, people gonna start thinking these are made up screens here. I'm gonna have to start setting my screens up in the back like I'm on a beach somewhere. I mean, I can't take it. And then you always come out with this new custom shirt. I've never seen this shirt before. I mean, what is going on with this new logo, National Alliance of African American Athletes shirt, Mr. Pearsall? How can someone get this shirt? How can they pay for this shirt? Can they go online and buy this shirt, Mr. Pearsall?
Go online and make the request, and I will personally respond with a price if you let me know what item and size you need. But, you know, as you see the things that I am privileged to adorn, certainly all these things can be reproduced and provided and shipped to anyone who would like to have one. And yes, I'm very proud of our logo, but more importantly, I'd like to continue to represent the organization as I should. So, yes, I'm out here. It's hot. I had to represent the way South Beach would want to be represented. And, yeah, logo as well.
Well, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you are willing to share your merchandise with our listeners, with our viewers. I mean, there are a lot of people who really want to be a part of the Watkins Award, and they should be able to purchase, you know, the merchandise. The merchandise is not exclusive, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to know that you can get this merchandise. Make a request. Of course, you can send an email to Mr. Pearsall at the Watkins Award Show at gmail.com. Again, that's the Watkins Award Show at gmail.com. Now, of course, I got some more things I want to talk about, but as always, I have to do that disclaimer. I got to do the disclaimer because, you know, people get on the show and they start blaming our sponsors and the commercials, the people who advertise, the people who make this show possible. So, you know, and I haven't gotten any hate mail lately like I did once before. You know, people listening to these guys that are graduating from all these schools and trying to say that there's no way in the world that you keep coming up athlete after athlete. And these athletes, I mean, clearly I don't have to go back on the names, but I will do that maybe at some point, I go through all the names of everybody who came through here. But I can say it started off with Donnell Dinkins, who had went to Pitt and played on several NFL teams. And Mr. Pearstar and I, thank the Lord. I mean, gave me an opportunity to be with him on South Beach. And we got a chance to see Donnell Dinkins play that year. And they played against with the Indianapolis Colts that year, Pearstar, that we was down there in Miami. I had a wonderful time.
Yep.
Wonderful time. Now, Mr. Pearstar was in the locker room. I was somewhere else. I mean, I was just having a good time. And all of a sudden, I turned my back. Mr. Pearstar, he's gone. I mean, I saw him do something to a party down there in South Beach. It was an ESPN party. Oh, you can imagine everything that was there. And Mr. Pearstar, if you are a fan of the Alliance or Watkins Award, if you see us, we'll do the best that we can to help you out. Well, some people saw us. 14 people saw us. And they said that only two people could come to the party. And Mr. Pearstar made sure all of the fans were able to come into this party at ESPN. How he did it, I do not know, ladies and gentlemen. But he's willing to do whatever it takes. So we're going to talk about, not today in too much detail, but at some point we're going to have a membership. We're going to allow you to get merchandise, get signed merchandise from any of the Watkins honorees. Any of the Watkins honorees, you can get signed merchandise. And it helps us to do what we do, which is to help these young men make the transition from high school to college to the professional world. If it just happens to be the NFL, then, of course, we help them not only to deal with the issues and the challenges that come along with going into the NFL, but also coming out of the NFL. I hear it all the time. What do these guys do? Are they blowing their money? Are they, on drugs, alcohol? You know, they doing all this crazy stuff? No, not the honorees of the Watkins Award. They're not. But before I get too deep, as I mentioned, the views and opinion of the Watkins Awards are the views and opinion of J. Everett Pearstar and T. Tate. Those are our views. So some things you may hear just may not make any sense to you. I mean, clearly, I don't want to rub this in, that African-Americans got these high GPAs and they go to these top schools and they academic All-American. I mean, in reality, 31 years now, Mr. Pearstar, 31 years or 30 years?
30 years now.
Okay, 30 years. Okay, so 30 years, 100% graduation rate, 100%. Some of these guys are leaving school with 2 and 3 degrees. We've even had one guy not only leave school with almost 2.9 degrees. Now, only reason I don't say 3 degrees is because he just had a paper he had to turn in, and then he would be conferred with his second master's degree. But he also, think about this. This guy played on 2 national championships. To be in college, most guys never get a chance to even play for a national championship. And he got 2. And we have several guys who got 2 national championships while they were in college. I mean, so they got, they got that big ring. I forgot mine. I normally will wear mine every once in a while, so maybe next week I'll remember to wear my big championship ring. But these guys will do this. So these views and opinion, these are of J. Everett Pearstar, because I know a lot of you will go on Google and start researching and say, man, they didn't have no guys that won 2 national championships and all this kind of stuff. I want you to go by our website, It's being developed, so bear with us. They're still doing some work on the new website, but go to www.naaa.com. That's four A's. That's naaa.com. So I want you to go to the website. The other thing I want you to do, ladies and gentlemen, because as I mentioned, the views and opinion of the Watkins Award are of J. Everett Pearsall and Tyrone Tate. I mean, we do the best that we possibly can. And I know that Mr. Pearsall, he's a good person. And I do the best that I can to be good. Really, these are young men who have families. There's some extraordinary stories. But when they come into the Alliance. Now, the Watkins Award is the trophy. That's the recognition for high academic standards and extraordinary athletic skill. That, I mean, academics and athletics. Okay. So, you know, that's the reason why you got four A's and all these guys make a lot of A's. So, you know, academics and athletics. So A square, academic and athletic. So we don't want you to take it out on our sponsors and or the people that do ads here, because you say, well, them guys over there, they lying and talking about guys winning two national championships, let alone somebody, and these guys got these GPAs and they go to these big schools. How can they pull it off? Well, there's a way to pull it off. And every week, what we try to do is talk to these Watkins honorees and find out what did they do. I mean, it's no secret sauce. There's something that's common in all of them. And the one common thing is that all of these young men are self-motivated. They're very focused. And so that's the one thing that I want to just get out there, you know, our views and our opinions as we move forward for now on. Again, I'll do this every show. So, Mr. Pearsall, today we got a young man who's going to be here. Now, I'm doing something different. I'm talking about him early because these guys, man, they deserve more time. I mean, they just deserve more time. They got stories to tell, and I want the audience to hear as much as they can. I mean, we only have, you know, just under an hour in the show, and then we got, you know, sponsorships and commercials, all that kind of stuff that's going on. And, you know, the sponsors are doing everything. But Mr. Pearsall, tell me, you know, the Watkins Award, I mean, what does for people who don't know, so let me start there. For people who don't know, what the National Alliance of African American Athletes, what that means, what does that mean, Mr. Pearsall?
So in 1989, a group of myself and eight other individuals who had been really purposed not just to be focused on our business lives and trying to build our economic wealth. And we were all, for the most part, starting our careers. We were purposed to give back to the community in which we lived, which was Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And obviously, it didn't take us long when we were going back to schools and putting together programs to learn that disenfranchised youth look up to entertainers and athletes. And so with most of us having, you know, played either football or basketball or been involved in sport and some at the college level, we recognized that we would go the route of using athletics and the sport of the industry of sport to put out positive messages for kids to be able to listen to. What I mean by the attention of kids, you know, if I walk into a room and there are 500 kids and I start giving them a message, for the most part, there might be one or two of them that might listen and really might be tuned in. But I bring a Darnell Dinkins in to the room. I bring a Josh Dobbs into the room. And these guys know that they played for the Steelers and have a Super Bowl ring with the New Orleans Saints. And all of a sudden, it goes from just two out of those 500 to maybe 250 or more that would actually tune in and listen for whatever reason to what that story is. And then I'm talking to them, and our listeners and viewers know that, you know, I'm bringing up individuals that adorned 4.0 grade point averages, that adorned a lot of respect in their communities and are respected by their peers. And so now that you see this 6'5", 250-pound guy with 3% body fat standing in front of you with a Super Bowl ring on his finger, and you want to know how you can play football like him, and that individual is telling you that really the secret of success for them and what's most important to them is education, then you start diving into the soul of the individuals that are tuned in. And now that same message that I would have been able to give to them, however eloquently, can now be given to them by an individual that they respect and now open to receive. And so in order to be more effective to the masses, we started as a nonprofit, the National Alliance of African American Athletes, and we have been very purposed to make sure that we continue to have the effect on hundreds of thousands of kids throughout this country.
So, you know, we also have what we call the Watkins Award, which was named after the original founder, Franklin D. Watkins. So how can, you know, and this recognizes the top scholar athlete, high school scholar athlete in the country, football, basketball, and or baseball, because some of these guys, as you have heard, if you listen to past shows, and please, please, go to bbsradio.com/ the Watkins Award. That's bbsradio.com/ the Watkins Award. And you can hear all of the past shows. You can hear all of the past shows. So all of these young men represent high scholarship. They represent, a standard that's just unbelievable. So if somebody wants to recommend someone, or someone wants to fill out an application, see if they are eligible for this, what do they need to do?
Simply send an email to our website. Go into our website and go into the info section or contact us and shoot an email over to us on who that individual is, whatever credentials that you can place in that email about that individual, so that then that information can be forwarded to the group of individuals, which we call the nominating committee. And those individuals on the nominating committee sit at the round table or now on Zoom, and they go through those names to make sure that once we get the group of individuals that will nominate for the next award class, you know, they're worthy of being in that group. And so, again, send that email through the website. It'll be forwarded to the nominating committee. And there's no guarantee they'll just automatically be nominated. But, you know, it makes sure that they're in consideration and potentially be nominated. Well, we encourage you to do so.
And I really appreciate that, because I want to eliminate the confusion with someone saying, well, how do I nominate my son? How do I nominate my nephew? How do I nominate someone in the community? So I'm glad. Again, just go to the website at www.naaa.com. You can send an email directly from the website. As I mentioned, you also can go to the Watkins Awards Show at gmail.com. I mean, just whatever you need to do. Maybe you don't have the credentials. Maybe they are not there. You just know that this is a kid that fits what it is that we are looking for. You can go to Twitter, Instagram, you go anywhere. I mean, Twitter is the Watkins Award. Just go to the Watkins Award, or you can hit me up on Twitter at RealTPate. I mean, clearly, we are serious about this. I mean, we got, as Mr. Pearsall indicated, we got a nominating committee who goes through the application. And trust me, whatever you say, Mr. Pearsall got these guys like private detectives. They gonna go through that paperwork. They gonna verify everything to make sure that this person you recommend. Now, don't feel upset or bad or scared. Do it. Recommend the kid, even if you think he fits. Now, it gotta be a male, and he must be a senior. Now, you can recommend a junior, and we'll have him on the radar his senior year. We just need to know soon enough. Now, when is the deadline for this application?
So there's an entire process that has dates associated with it, and we announced all of that in July. But all those individuals that we are going to be included in the nominations will be done by the end of July. Then we send out the actual applications and invite people to compete for the award in September. And then so goes the process with which they're evaluated. And it narrows down to an announcement on who the five individuals who will be honoring who they are.
Okay. Well, I've held it off long enough. I see that our guest, Bryant Browning, is here. Now, you know, this guest, I could talk about him all day long. I mean, Brian, he went to one of the top schools in Ohio, Glenville High School. And certainly he is another one of those individuals who is the epitome of academics and athletics. Now, again, I keep telling you all, you know, I already did the disclaimer. So if you don't believe me, go online, look it up, see what you want to see. Now, as I've indicated to a lot of people, Bryant has had an opportunity to come to Washington, D.C. and, you know, see the you know, my great city. He was, you know, he played football, basketball, and he was on track and field team. So, again, he is one of those multi-sport guys. And when he finished, he finished high school with a 4.1. All I can tell you, I'm proud of this guy that he would go, he would accept an opportunity to go to the Ohio State University. And with all that said, Bryant Browning, how are you, sir?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys. Nice to see you again, Mr. Tyrone Tate and E. You know, you're a guy, man. So, you know, thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Well, yes, you know, the audience, they already been warmed up. They've listened to 14 shows. You are the 15th show. And I tell them all the time, it's a beautiful thing to see you all coming through the Watkins Award, see you in high school, coming through high school, going to college, and you address us as Mr. Tate, Mr. Tyrone, Mr. Pearsall, and then as you get older, it's Pearsall and Tyrone. So you're old enough now. You can call me Tyrone. That's okay. I'm always getting a chuckle out of this, but I really appreciate it. And what people get a chance to see is really the type of character that these young men bring to the table. I mean, these are good young men. So, I'm going to get straight to the juggler, because one of the things that we talking about around the Watkins Award, in particular for you, you a big guy. So, you know, some people say that you have a growth spurt. You didn't have no growth spurt, because ain't no way in the world. Big as you are, that wasn't a growth spurt. You was a big guy in elementary school and middle school and high school. So when did you get to this point that you was going to play football? Because all big guys don't play football. They just don't. I mean, you look at a big guy, he doesn't play football. But when did you, Brian, decide that you was going to play football?
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting way you kind of segue into that, because as you say, I was always a big guy. I was always the big kid, the biggest in the classroom type of kid. And growing up in Cleveland, as you guys mentioned, went to Glenville High School in Cleveland. For big guys, it's really rough playing football because there's no middle school football. So essentially all we have is like the little league, or we call it the mini league football, and all that stuff is on the weight limit. So So as a big kid, as I was, like, I couldn't play football until I got to high school. Couldn't play football with an actual helmet and shoulder pads on until I went to high school with equipment, because they had this weight limit that I was essentially, I believe the highest it goes up to is about maybe 170, 180. And to be honest, I probably was that size and I was 6-7 years old. So so by the time I got to middle school, I'm way, you know, it's not even a consideration, you know, to even try to play little league type football. So, but as you guys stated, once again, I did go to a great program, Glenville High School with Ted Ginn Sr. And so he, you know, I knew him from basically, you know, from around the neighborhood. Yeah, got my brother to go there to play high school football. So for me, I started working out for playing high school football in the seventh grade. In the seventh grade, I started going to workouts at Glenville High School, lifting weights, running, doing the conditioning, and things of that nature, because essentially there was no football for me until I could get to the ninth grade. So I was always anxious and willing and ready. And in the ninth grade, I was able to finally, you know, go ahead and suit up and start playing, you know, real football. And, you know, and that was my thing. Like you say, you mentioned some other, I played basketball a little bit. I played basketball in middle school, freshman year of high school. But once I finished the eighth grade and could play football in high school, that was it. That was me. I was all about football from there.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because here you start football in the ninth grade and you are All-American your 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. I mean, what in the world was going on? Did you love football that much that Coach Ginn could, I mean, you had people who were coaching you up and you was absorbing this stuff that quick?
Yeah, I loved it. Like I said, I have been waiting essentially, you know, how you say, like, really my whole life for this opportunity to start playing football. So when I got the chance to, like, everything went to the back burner. Basketball went to the back burner. Like I said, I played basketball my freshman year. And if you can see my shirt, it says Glenville. So one of my JV coach actually makes these T-shirts. So he's my JV basketball coach. And I just always say thank you for living on the team, because I was terrible. I didn't play basketball. I didn't touch a basketball since I graduated high school until probably JV tryouts my freshman year. And I played because, once again, I was a big kid, and I said I wanted to play for at least a year. So I went out there and I did, and they let me on the team. But, you know, it wasn't.
We got some music coming in.
Okay.
We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. As soon as we come back, we're going to talk about your academics in high school.
Okay.
Man, this football takes a lot of time. Academics is a whole different ball game, you know, off the field. So we'll talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the Ohio State Bryant Browning. And you're here at the Watkins Award, and J. Everett Pearsall is on South Beach. We'll be right back.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Exotic Car Sharing by Kirby Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Oh, yeah. We're back. We're here with Brian Browning and, of course, J. Everett Pearsall down on South Beach. As always, he's somewhere. You never know where
he's
going to end up. But, Brian, before we went out on the break, you know, you talked about, you know, the athletic part. I'm going to get into the academic because, you don't start until the ninth grade at playing real competitive football. You end up being All-State up there in Ohio, and we know that Ohio football is nothing but Ohio State football. So, what in the world are you doing that you on that football field doing what you do? It's not as easy as people think. But you go on that football field, and by the time you were senior, you the valedictorian of your class. Think I didn't realize or remember. And then you also are the class president, which means you got you just like a big old bear, you know, without a uniform on. But once you get this uniform on, you go into a transformation like the difference between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But we're going to stick with the grades now, and we're going to go back to that football side. But how do you do it? You graduated with a 4.1.
Yeah. So essentially, academics was always my base. I lost my mother in the year 2000. She died unexpectedly. And essentially growing up, it was really me, my brother, and my mother. And, you know, academics always came first. You know, if you want to go outside, you want to play, do your homework, what's your report card look like, you need to be on the honor roll. You know, that was how I was raised. So that was my bread and butter. And academics just always came, you know, that was always first in our household. And so essentially going into high school, my freshman year, I spoke with my brothers. My freshman year of high school, my brother was a senior, and he was graduating high school. And he was graduating number three in his class. And I always set a goal for myself my freshman year. It's like, hey, I want to beat my brother. To beat him, I need to be number one. I need to be valedictorian. So I set that goal as a freshman. And, you know, so every quarter, every semester, every class, you know, I did whatever it took to get the best grade possible. And I kind of set that goal, you know, most freshmen coming in, you know, to high school, you know, they're trying to figure out how they fit, where they belong. But me, I kind of came in with a goal and knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be number one, you know, just on the competitive side. I want to be valedictorian. So I kind of set that goal for myself early. And just through the work, through the determination, and, you know, essentially, like I say, kind of always reflecting and remembering, this is my goal, to graduate number one as valedictorian. I set that bar for myself and was able to achieve it. So that's how I kind of explained my high school career academically, or why I tried to, you know, why I graduated with such a high GPA. I did whatever I could to be number one, to win. First of all, so I could talk junk to my big brother, you know, hey, I beat you. And first of all, to have that honor of being a Glenville class of 2006 valedictorian.
Well, you leave Glenville, and before I let Mr. Pearsall take over here, I just want to know, how do you prepare yourself from the classroom, off the football field, to go to the Ohio State University? I mean, you listen to the words now. I can't just say Ohio State. You all make it, I mean, plain and simple, it's the Ohio State University. But you go up there to the horseshoe, it's 101,000 and some change seats up there in the horseshoe. I mean, man, what is your head going through leaving Glenville and going into the horseshoe? I mean, you go in this place, I've asked some of the other guys the same thing. How do you move your mind off of that high school football field to this real business up there at Ohio State? All the games are sold out.
All the games sold out.
Ain't no seat. Pearsall can't get in there and find a seat. He got to stand up.
Yeah, every ticket is accounted for, right? Yeah, going to Glenville High School and having, older people from my high school going on to go make it on the Ohio State is that, I just kind of wanted to, not disappoint them. I wanted to go and put my mark down. When I went to Ohio State, like I say, other guys from my high school had made it to Ohio State, but none of them was offensive linemen, and all those guys, to be honest, they was great athletes. And as you guys say, I was always a big kid, but I was never considered the best athlete. So I had to put a lot of work in strength-wise, athletic-wise, smart-wise, learning the game of football and just kind of setting that goal that one day that I could get on this field and I could do it. I could have the crowd cheering for not for me because I don't score a touchdown, but cheering for my quarterback, my running back, my wide receiver once they make that big play and know I did my part in making my block and calling out the right protection and doing whatever it takes to be a leader on the field and score touchdowns and win games and be Big Ten champions. We went to two national titles. We lost them, but we went to two national titles. Every year we went to BCS games. So we played in big bowl games and beat big teams and just know that, hey, you belong. Do the work so you know that you belong. And that's why I always say I did for myself. I did the work. I made the sacrifices, whether it was eating, whether it was working out, additional workouts, was it changing my body? Was it, relaxing on the weekend instead of trying to, do some extra activities, do it the right thing so that I could feel that I belong and go out there and do it and really enjoy that experience.
Well, I ain't putting no words in your mouth, Pearsall. It's on you now. He said something about eating. And I know you. And I know you better ask him something about that BBQ place up there, man. I haven't had none yet, but I'm gonna keep my mouth closed. I'm gonna hear what you're gonna talk about, but I want some of that barbecue.
Brian Browning, aka B Brown, aka Big B, aka Brian the Bulldozer, aka Brian the Bruiser, aka Brian the Benevolent, aka Brian the Believer, the Gentle Giant. Welcome to the show, my brother. I'm down here in South Beach representing wherever I can, and yeah, happy to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on here. It's a truly, truly an honor.
Absolutely amazing for me to realize the amount of time that has passed. In 2006, when we had you come to actually Los Angeles at the time for the Watkins Award, and really think back then that, that year we had four guys and everybody, all four played professional sport and three played in the NFL. So that's amazing that we're honoring individuals for their scholastic aptitude and for having 4.0 and above grade point averages and all played professional sport. But we have some similarities in the way that we grew up in terms of being a little disenfranchised economically and some of the challenges that we had to go through in doing some of that. And one of the questions that I just have to ask, and knowing that environment around most of the people that played at Glenville, knowing the neighborhood and all the influences within, there are some people listening out there, both parents and individuals that are going through or may end up going through some of the obstacles that you faced in the streets and some of the things that were tugging at you that you had to kind of fight against. Tell me some of those obstacles that you had and then how you overcame them.
Yeah. So like you said, Eric, definitely growing up, money was tight. Let's just call it money was tight. We was definitely a family that, had to go to food bank sometimes to kind of make sure we had enough food in the refrigerator to get us through the month. Definitely a family that, we didn't waste too many things. Definitely a family where, if you got one pair of shoes, this pair of shoes needs to last you at least through Christmas. You had to go 4 or 5 months with this one pair of shoes. And you know, a lot of people could understand that they get it, you know, right? Especially growing up in the neighborhoods that we grew up in, and some of us people don't, you know, they didn't have those tight things. Maybe you had one pair of shoes, but, you know, you just really wanted one pair of shoes type of deal. But, you know, when it comes to it, it's just really about, you know, who's around you, right? You know, I say, you know, money was tight, but I would definitely say I had a village of people that was around me that wanted more. I was born in 88, and, you know, growing up and being an 80s baby, some people know what that means. You know, your parents got into a lot of stuff that they shouldn't have got into when it comes to drugs, alcohol, things of that nature. And my parents had those struggles, and they always set an example for me and my brother, saying, hey, listen, this is what we did. We did it. We did the partying. We did these things. And now due to those things, this is where we are at in life. Don't follow this track. Choose a different track. You could do it. You have the brains to do it. We know we're going to push it in front of you. And, you know, when it comes to the athletic side of things, you know, that's just a plus. You know, it's a plus. Like, you know, this is a plus playing sports. It's a plus making it to the NFL. But academic comes first, and we know that you could do more for yourself. And that was the community around me. My parents, that's what they preached. My mom, who was in the household with me, my father, who was in and out of jail, when we spoke with him, when he was around, that's what he preached to us. My grandparents, who raised them, who basically saw their kids not live up to their expectations, knew, like, hey, you don't have to go on the same path. You know, things are going to, you know, you got to fight the good fight and make it up, you know, make it out of here and do something different. And I'm glad to say that we was able to do that. We was able to set those goals. Take that village, you know, learn your history, learn what people did wrong, and be able to excel through that and still be able to kind of come out on the other side of things, for sure.
One of the things that, and great answer, by the way, I mean, obviously, some people have some similarities when it comes to that, some people don't. People have their own challenges. But what I wanted to do was to ask that question for those who have some similarities, so you can help be an example of how they can focus and overcome as well. Tyrone asked me frequently, you know, what do you get out of this? What excites you the most? What are some of your most memorable times in doing the Watkins Award? And I just can't, you know, stop thinking about the fact that the Watkins Award allowed me to meet your grandmother. The Watkins Award allowed me to meet your brother and the village of people around you that influenced you. And then watching you, you know, grow up, for lack of a better way of saying it, because you were full grown really at an early age physically. But watching you grow up and watching you do all the things that you've already done, it's just so rewarding. But talk about, you know, from the time you got your package for the Watkins Award, and I know that, you know, you looked at it and said, oh, that's a lot of work. But, you know, how has the Watkins Award helped you get from where you were at that time in high school up into where you are now, and kind of with some of the obstacles that you may have faced and some of the situations you may have run into, or the relationships within people that you know from Watkins? What has the Watkins Award meant to you, and then how has it helped you along the way?
Yeah, I think I've shared this story with you before, Aaron. I don't know if you ever heard it before, Tate, Mr. Tate. But so as Aaron said, my year when we did our Watkins banquet, it was in Los Angeles, California. And you know, when you go, you get to yourself go as in your guardian. They come out there with you. So at the time, I was staying with my grandmother. This is my mother's mom, and after my mother passed, she once stepped in my life and kind of kept me and my brother's life on track and going in the right direction, kind of just kind of made sure that, you know, she stepped in there and then kept us going in the right direction, like I said. So essentially, and her, like, she's passed now. She passed in the year 2019, so she passed a couple of years ago. But like Eric said, in 2006, we flew out to Los Angeles, California, and she was just ecstatic. She had been to the East Coast before. She's been to the Atlantic Ocean, but she said, I had a life goal to one day make it to the Pacific Ocean just so I could get some sand and some of that ocean water, just to say I did it, you know, just to say I touched both coasts of this country. And that trip to Los Angeles was the trip for her. The first time that she ever been in California, was able to go to the Pacific Ocean, and she had a bottle. She had a, like, that's a water bottle. She poured out, and she scooped up some sand and water, and she brought that home. And, you know, that's just something that the Watkins Award did for me and my family. My grandmother was able to make it to both coasts of the country due to the Watkins Award. And so it is really that experience going out there and meeting so many like-minded people. Like I said, I went to Glenville. We had a ton of talent. We had, you know, pretty good student athletes. But when I went to Watkins, it was just a whole nother experience. You know, there's so many, I'm just going to say, you know, black people, males, females that's around you who just had a same mindset, you know, that, you know, obviously we've been through some things, but that doesn't stop us here. You know, we're making a new history. We're going forward, and we would love for you to be a part of it. And I just loved it ever since, you know, just going around with like-minded people, meeting guys who are going through the same thing I'm going through, meeting people who are big on faith, who's big on football, who's big on a family, who's big on academics, and just being a part of that has really meant a lot. And, you know, every throughout the college year, he's always checking in. Hey, what's going on? How are you doing academic? You know, how is football going for you? And, you know, it's just a, you know, sometimes you get so big that, you know, you get successful and people just figure, you know, you're okay now. Like, well, he made it to Ohio State, he's okay now. But ever know that it's a whole nother journey once you get there. It's a whole nother journey that you have to go through. And he was a guy that's always pressing, hey, how are you doing? Can I help you? Do you need help? How's it going? You know, and just that little bug that's in your ear, know that someone is counting on you, that someone is there listening to you if you have an issue, someone has your back outside of the program, you know, it means a lot. It really means a lot, for sure.
Thanks, man. Now, you know, there are people who inspire me, people who give me energy, but there's only a couple of people that I can say when I get around them, you know, I soak up all of their energy and their passion. And when I leave, I'm really more energized and I have everything I know I need to get out there and just change lives and continue doing the things that I do on a daily basis. That individual, or one of probably two or three, is Coach Ginn. Now, you know, to have the ability to have him in your life, to reach back and kind of pull you out of the situation you're in, to teach you, to coach you, to counsel you, to be a father figure to you. One of the things I would like to have some of your personal heartfelt comments on is, tell me a bit about that experience of being mentored and coached by the great Coach Ginn.
Man, he means the world to me, myself, my brother, and my family. I spoke earlier about me setting a goal for myself, you know, with the valedictorian and being able to achieve that goal. Coach Ginn set goals for me that, you know, that I didn't even have in my head. You know, like, you know, who thought myself, a little fat kid from St. Clair, 110 of St. Clair, would ever be able to go to Ohio State and play in front of over 100,000 and travel and go to the NFL. You know, as a kid, it's always fun to say, like, when I grew up, I want to go to the NFL. You know, it sounds, you know, yeah, great. That sounds pretty good. But with Coach Ginn, like, it became real. Like, you know, you could see that, you know, he had a program in place. He had people around you that actually could make this happen for you. And he believes it. And he tells you at a young age, like, you could do it. Like, you could do it. Focus. You know, come here. If you can't do nothing else, just come here and we'll have something for you, whether it's a workout, whether it's a book, whether it's just a talk, whether it's a speech. You know, I have something for you to put on your mind just to ensure that you continue to grow. And, I mean, you know, like I said, my mother passed in 2000, and I believe I met Coach Ginn in 2000. I met Coach Ginn for the first time in elementary school. My mother passed. So in 2000, that was the year I was going to the seventh grade. So like I said, I started working out with the football team in the seventh grade. And he just always kind of, you know, big arms, big hands, just come on in, Brian. You know, you need something? Yeah, hey, you could do it. You can do it. And I'm always cutting your back. And if you slack it, he'll let you know he's real. Yeah, you slack it right now. You can do better. I know it. And he tell you. And, you know, I think it means a lot. You know, a lot of times when, and especially when it comes to coaches, sometimes when it's just about football, you can take certain advice from them about football, but when it starts getting away from football, you kind of don't really, you know, you don't feel like you had that relationship with that person for him to even, you know, to kind of come and have that conversation with you. With Coach Gant, he the time is there. You know, that's that. Yeah. You know, the time is there. If he's telling you something, he's telling you something for a reason. You soak it in, you listen, you learn. And essentially, when it comes to Coach Gant, you know, he says all this, you know, does all this for us and give us these goals and these dreams when it comes to academics and it comes to athletics with football. But when it really comes down to it, you know, he just says, you know, I really do all this stuff, put all this stuff on your mind, have you go through all this, all these courses, all these camps, give you all these opportunities just so one day you can take care of your family. That's all he wants. Not so you live a mansion, not so that you are, you know, donating millions of dollars to a school or to an organization. He just, one day, I just want you to be able to feel like a man and take care of your family. And that's all he really wants for you at the end of the day. And, I mean, he's just one of a kind. One of a kind. Definitely a heaven-sent man that is that's just ordained.
Man, listening to you speak, I'm telling you, I'm getting chills. I'm getting goosebumps, and you know it's 80 some degrees over here, and I'm getting goosebumps and chills. So thank you for that word. I mean, heartfelt. Tell us about some of the great things that you're doing now. I know you've got a leadership position where you've done a lot of things with some of the folks at Ohio State. I've been to your restaurant several times. I want you to talk about that a little bit. You're an entrepreneur. You're working. You're doing so many things in the community. Every time I turn around, you're talking about some of the things you've done for the kids there and giving back to start kids off at school with supplies and stuff. I'm talking about you. Tell us about some of the things that you're doing right now.
Yeah, so like you said, currently I do own a barbecue restaurant here in the Columbus area. We have two locations that's open now, and we actually be opening up our third location in the next couple of weeks here. So that's been a huge blessing upon my life. When football was dwindling down for me, when the NFL days was over with, came back to the Columbus, and that, you know, knew some people but didn't really know exactly what I wanted to get into. And me and a group of friends, one of my friends that played with Ohio State, some other friends that I've been knowing for several years now, decided we're going to put together a plan. We just want to do business. Like, let's do a business together. So we just kind of landed on a restaurant. Everett has the food. He asked me before he went, like, is the meat or the sauce? I said, they both are good, Everett. And he called me back today and said, they both are really good. Like I told you, like, we, you know, everything is made from scratch here, and the food is really good. We're really proud of it. It's definitely growing in the Columbus market. Like Everett said, I also work as well. So I work a day job for an insurance company. My heart and joy is my wife and my baby girl, my daughter, Brynn. She just turned 3 last month. And that's my world right there. My family, my business, and this kind of in the community, just, you know, taking care of my family like Coach Gann would want me to do.
Exactly. So before I turn it back over to Tyrone, Bryant left a lot off. When we were up there, we were talking to some Ohio State players. They talked about the fact that he was a leader. They looked up to him. He had been involved with some of the council that they had up there. They were doing fundraisers and doing things to get back to the community. He was involved with trying to help them to give back to the right people at the right time in the right way. There's so many things he's doing to talk about. But, you know, Bryant, you're a great man. I'm so proud of you. You know I love you, man. And I'll turn you back over to the coach, Tyrone Tate.
You know what? I feel slighted here. I mean, because Pearsall and I always go out and test the barbecue in every city that we go in. Now, we haven't been in Columbus at the same time. So somehow I got to make my way up there because I'm a barbecue sauce fanatic. So first of all, I want the audience to know, I mean, people that are coming in who are big Buckeye fans, where are your restaurants located? What's the name of it, and where are they located?
So the name of the restaurant is the Pit Barbecue Grill. The Pit Barbecue Grill. If you're coming to, I guess, let's say you're going to campus, we have a location that's on High Street. Everybody know High Street in Columbus, Ohio. So that location is about 5 minutes from campus. So you just kind of get on High Street and travel north and you run into the Pit Barbecue Grill. And then we also have a location that's on the south side of Columbus called on Parsons Avenue. Address is 1542 Parsons Avenue. So we have a location there. Is in a new location that we're opening up will be on the it's the north northwest side of Columbus in a suburb called Dublin, Ohio, and that's where we're putting our third location at. So it's the Pit Barbecue Grill. You know, if you search it in the Columbus market, we're definitely on all the platforms: the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Is in website is the Pit Columbus.com. So you look us up and then I get you directly to all our locations and let you know how to get to us and eat some good barbecue. Eat some good food.
Well, it's good. It's good.
You grinding up there. I mean, it's obvious that you are really grinding up there now for our audience so they'll know you majored in business and it seemed like you are not slowing down. I mean, you working in one business and then you come and work your bit. And that restaurant business is not easy. I mean, it takes a lot of hours, a lot of concentration. I mean, basically the same thing you had to do when you was on the football field.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian, there's no doubt that I'm proud of you. I mean, it is without a doubt that I'm proud of you for what you went through as a kid. You know, a lot of people always say that, you know, I just can't take it. It's too much stuff going on. But I hear the music coming up in the background. Hey, all I can tell you is thank you so much, Bryant Browning, from the Ohio State University. And certainly, I'm trying to make my way up there to the Pit Barbecue Grill, because if I don't hurry up and get there, I know that Mr. Pearsall is going to eat up all the barbecue by the time I get up there. He's going to leave Miami, and I have my T-shirt off. Where's Pearsall? Thank you again, Pearsall. Thank you. You know, hey, it's been a wonderful day. Thanks again. It's been wonderful. And Pearsall, that's all I can tell you. Hey, audience, hey, here we are again. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me, guy. Appreciate
it. Get that wife. Tell the wife I said hello and get that baby a kiss for me.
We'll do.
And do the same for me as well. But don't have no barbecue sauce on your lips. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the Watkins Awards Show. Thanks again for coming in. It's, you know, certainly been a great day with Bryant Browning of the Ohio State University. And certainly, if you're in Columbus, go by the Pit BBQ Grill, because it's still waiting on you. Tell me what you think. Thank you.
See you next Monday.
I know you could do it. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.